Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled Queen Creek Ed Board Approves ESA Handbook Over Protests. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, June 29, 2025, and written by Samantha Ray. The State Board of Education last week approved the 2026 Empowerment Scholarship Account, ESA, Parent Handbook in an 8-to-1 decision despite numerous parents urging its rejection. The key revision to the new handbook involved the removal of spending caps highly requested by parents. The Arizona Department of Education, ADE, met with parents and legislators multiple times to come to an agreeable resolution. Nevertheless, parents urged the handbook's rejection, stating the guidelines wording is too vague and fearing it will lead to unwritten spending caps being enforced. Some parents and critics argued the new criteria are open to interpretation and could lead to inconsistent approvals or misuse of public funds. ESAs provide funds for parents to send their children to private school or to homeschool them. The program's annual cost is nearing $1 billion a year. John Ward, executive director of the ESA program, said limits were originally placed to provide transparency as a response to allegations that there was a, quote, secret list, end quote, that was being enforced. Parents pushing for the removal of limits asserted the ADE has no authority to set them. ADE removed spending caps on musical instruments, physical education and playground equipment, smarts and computers, tools for vocational education, and home economics appliances and accessories, such as cooking and baking equipment and sewing machines. Another change made at the request of parents is that certified special education teachers can now provide a letter indicating the need for an associated good or assistive technology. Previously, ADE expected a licensed professional or qualified examiners to provide documentation about the item and its relation to a child's. Multiple parents expressed that they should not have to go to the doctor or use their insurance to get items approved for their child's education. Many stakeholders requested that documentation from special education providers be accepted, and so the change was made. In absence of hard spending caps on supplementary materials, ADE said it will approve expenses, quote, that are reasonably related to an educational or vocational purpose, end quote. The handbook says the department will use factors such as students', quote, specific circumstances and educational needs, end quote, whether an item was previously approved for a student, an item's, quote, primary purpose, end quote, and whether its cost, quote, is not greater than what meets the student's educational needs and circumstances in relation to other readily available and reasonable alternatives, end quote. Parents said those factors gave them no clarity. They also said the state should not be the ones to determine what is necessary for their child's education. Adrian Nutter said he moved his family to Arizona largely because of its school choice program and that he found the ESA system easy to navigate, but is concerned from what he heard about the wording of the new budget. You guys are looking to provide educational choices for families, Nutter said. You need to make this clear, easy to understand, easy to follow, and you need to remember that the kids come first. Advocates for approval praised the work and collaboration that went into the handbook. Prior to the board meeting, two lawmakers sent a letter urging the handbook's approval, and another signed by 19 lawmakers urged its rejection. State Senators Kevin Payne, Republican, Peoria, and David Gowan, Republican, Sierra Vista, urged the board to consider the, quote, thoughtful and deliberate process, end quote, that went into the handbook's development. Quote, over the past several months, ADE has demonstrated a strong and continued commitment to working directly with families, educators, and lawmakers to ensure the ESA program remains accessible, effective, and accountable, end quote. The state senator's letter reads, quote, the proposed handbook reflects the department's extensive collaboration with the parent-led handbook committee, and it incorporates meaningful feedback from a diverse group of stakeholders across Arizona, end quote. The letter, signed by 19 Arizona legislators, including Queen Creek Republican Representative Michael Way, urged the handbook's rejection, citing concerns about its legality. Quote, "We believe that several provisions in the draft handbook are very likely unlawful and unenforceable because they are unintelligible, arbitrary, and inconsistent with state law," end quote, the letter stated. The legislators discussed two issues in particular. Quote, "The handbook introduces unnecessary documentation barriers that are not supported by statute, requiring parents to submit additional documentation for purchases. We are concerned that these requirements go beyond the authority granted to the department," end quote, it said. It stressed that page 20 of the handbook should be, quote, "carefully scrutinized in light of the ongoing litigation," end quote, referring to a lawsuit by the Goldwater Institute against the Department of Education over the policy that requires justification of supplemental materials with a curriculum nexus. Ward and Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Horn said the Education Department is on board with Goldwater's case and supports its position, stating the state attorney general, quote, "made the requirement against our protest," end quote. The second issue involved a handbook statement that, quote, "policies can and will be added and or redacted in response to newly enacted legislation, court decisions, rule changes, and or suggestions for best practices which may occur more frequently," end quote. The 19 legislators said that the department's role is to ensure compliance with statute and established rules, not create or modify them at will. They ask that the, quote, "best practices," end quote, be considered before approval and on an annual basis. Ward said this criticism comes as a surprise to him because the handbook framework was developed with some of the legislators who signed the letter. "We have, like any other public agency, a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that a nearly billion-dollar program is managed and administered in a responsible way," Ward said. "It's unclear how ADE will interpret or enforce the revised criteria, though further clarification may come in future board meetings or legal rulings." Many ESA parents voiced that they felt let down, ignored, or disappointed by the ADE. Though simultaneously, some ESA stakeholders expressed confidence that the ADE will continue to work together with parents to modify and update the handbook in the future. One parent asked that the board approve the budget but include additional changes to its language. Heidi Will said she had asked the board not to approve earlier drafts at the last three board meetings, and although she is not completely satisfied with the new handbook, it is a clear improvement over previous versions. "I also called on the department to remove the spending caps from the handbook, advocate for increased staffing through legislative funding, and improve communication with parents," Will said. "Since last month's meeting, the department has taken meaningful steps on all three fronts. Not perfectly, but I believe in recognizing progress even when it's incomplete, rather than rejecting any effort that falls short of perfection." End of story. Our next article is entitled, "Financially Challenged Arizonans Aren't Alone, How Community Action Agencies Are Helping." This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, June 20th, 2025, and written by Kelly McGowan. Learn more. Arizona's community action agencies rely on local support from volunteers who serve on advisory boards to donors who help sustain essential programs. Wildfire, the statewide association, offers a complete directory of Arizona's community action agencies, a starting point for anyone seeking services, looking to get involved, or hoping to support this work in their own community. For information, visit wildfireaz.org/find-help/community-action-agencies. This is by Kelly McGowan with Wildfire. When economic uncertainties mount, Arizona families face impossible choices around housing, food, utilities, and employment. Help is out there, though many don't know it, a quiet but virtual network working in the neighborhoods to help cover essentials, whether financial shocks, and regain stability. These are community action agencies, CAAs, and Arizona is home to 11 of them. Together, they provide rent relief, utility assistance, job training, early education, and more, supporting more than 122,000 Arizona families each year. Most people don't know these agencies exist until they need them, but understanding who they are, what they do, and the programs they champion could make all the difference for those who are struggling. Meeting the moment, where CAA step in. For families forced to choose between rent and groceries or keeping the lights on and getting to work, these are the moments when CAAs provide timely support. Helping families stay afloat after job loss. A sudden layoff can upend everything, yet rent, groceries, child care, and utility bills keep coming. For families suddenly facing that gap, agencies like Mesa Community Action Network, Mesa CAN, operated by A New Leaf, step in before a rough patch turns into a crisis, helping working families regain their footing through emergency rental assistance, diaper distribution, utility support, job training, and financial counseling. GED programs also provide greater access to education resources. Keeping people safe in triple-digit heat. Arizona summers can turn deadly for households struggling to afford the cost of staying cool. Through programs like the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, LIHEAP, community partners such as Glendale Community Action Program and Maricopa County's network of community action programs help families through a mix of utility bill assistance, air conditioning repairs, and access to cooling centers, providing a crucial safeguard during the most dangerous stretches of heat. Ensuring access to housing stability. Facing an eviction can turn a family's world upside down. The City of Phoenix Human Services Department partners with trusted legal aid organizations to offer free eviction prevention services that help residents understand their rights, navigate court proceedings, and connect with vital community resources. The program offers also post-eviction support, guiding households through challenges and helping them secure future renting opportunities. Lowering energy bills for the long term. Cooling costs don't just rise with the temperature, they rise with every drafty window and aging air conditioner. Through the state's Weatherization Assistance Program, which helps retrofit older homes to improve efficiency and comfort, agencies like Mesa CAN help low-income households make lasting upgrades. Crews seal leaks, replace inefficient systems, and improve insulation, turning energy-wasting homes into safer, more affordable places to live. Bringing nutritious food within reach. In some corners of Arizona, fresh food is harder to find than fast food. Long drives, limited transit, and inflated prices make it tough for families to stock a healthy fridge. That's where CAAs get creative, setting up mobile markets, distributing locally sourced food boxes, and cutting red tape around Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP enrollment. Local agencies make sure distance and cost don't decide what's for dinner. How to become part of the community action. Arizona's community action agencies rely on local support from volunteers who serve on advisory boards to donors who help sustain essential programs. Wildfire, the statewide association, offers a complete directory of Arizona's community action agencies, a starting point for anyone seeking services, looking to get involved, or hoping to support this work in their own community. Most won't see the support until they need it, but for hundreds of thousands of Arizona families, it's already there, opening doors and helping households move towards lasting stability and opportunity. Editor's note, Kelly McGowan is the executive director for Wildfire, a Phoenix-based nonprofit addressing poverty in Arizona through advocacy and service. Please send your comments to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt. I'm your volunteer reader. Continuing on, Charlie calms nerves at Mesa Gateway Airport. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, June 25, 2025, and written by Cecilia Chan. Charlie is a four-year-old black Labrador retriever at Mesa Gateway Airport, trots through the terminal in search of nervous or stressed-out passengers and in need of some TLC. The certified therapy dog, adorned with a red, quote, pet me, end quote, vest, and his owner, Cheryl Cook, are part of the airport's Aviators Care, or Canines around, relaxing everyone, team. The two have been volunteers for a year and make their rounds at least once a week. A lot of people are flying for pleasure, said Clark, a Mesa resident, but there are people that aren't. Maybe they've flown out for a funeral or to visit someone who's sick, kids who've missed flights, or people kind of upset traveling with cranky kids. A little bit of Charlie does wonders. I get a lot of people that say, oh, I really needed this today. The 68-year-old Clark, who's been volunteering her services for about a decade, also takes Charlie to Arizona State University and to an elementary school in Chandler. She previously volunteered for about a year and a half at Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, which she called a bit crazy. Charlie Clark's second therapy dog was put to work after earning his certification in 15 months. Max, also a black lab, passed away 2 years ago and was part of the HOPE Animal Assisted Crisis Response, which deploys specially trained animal teams during crisis and disasters. In 2021, Clark and Max were dispatched to Boulder, Colorado, following a mass shooting at a supermarket that claimed 10 lives. Before Charlie begins a shift at Gateway, he is bathed and cleaned, one of the rules, Clark explained. And immediately after they check in and clear security, Charlie has to have his pup cup of whipped cream. He knows where the coffee place is, Clark said. He pulls me around the corner and goes barreling over to get his pup cup. After the small treat, Charlie is good to go and willing to visit with everybody, she added. During their two-hour shift, Clark and Charlie do a lot of walking at the 10-date terminal. Members of the Joint Powers Airport Authority, Mesa, Apache Junction, Queen Creek, Gilbert, and the Gila River Indian Community oversee the airport's operation. Sometimes the two approach people, but more often people come running up to them, Clark said. People seeing us walk up and down sometimes chase after us, she said. He's cute, sweet, gentle black lab. Everybody wants to pet him. He gets a lot of attention. Adults walk by me and ask, can I pet him? They pull up pictures on their phones of their dogs. I get a lot of doggy stories, which passes the time and relaxes people a bit, makes them less stressed if they feel stress. Otherwise, they're just happy to see a dog. Another rule Clark must follow for reasons such as safety and for Charlie not to lose focus is to stay away from passengers traveling with dogs, which are generally nervous about flying. I always have to kind of watch out for people that are traveling with little dogs or big dogs, because we can't approach them, Clark said. We do have insurance covering us, but we're not allowed to interact with, socialize with, other dogs while we're working. Charlie even has to keep his distance from the airport's bomb-sniffing dog, a yellow lab named Daisy. At each meet and greet, Clark hands out trading cards with Charlie's picture on it. Most airports with the program offer trading cards of their therapy pets. After 2 hours of being petted by strangers, Charlie is exhausted. He comes home, flops down on the bed, and takes a good long nap, Clark said. Over 50 airports in the country have therapy dog programs, including Sky Harbor with its Navigator Buddy dogs. The programs today have become widespread and integral to an airport's success in helping passengers de-stress, according to the Nationwide Alliance of Therapy Dogs. Even Canada and the United Kingdom have the program, it added. At Johns Hopkins University noted that research shows, quote, that simply petting a dog lowers the stress hormone cortisol, which the social interaction before people and their dogs actually increases levels of feel-good hormone oxytocin, the same hormone that bonds mothers and babies, end quote. Charlie is one of six therapy dogs at Mesa Gateway Airport, which has an ongoing job post looking for more volunteers. The program began in 2017. Requirements to join a care team include the dog must be at least 2 years old and up to date on vaccinations. The handler must pass a security threat assessment and criminal records check. Both handle and dog must be registered with a nationally accredited therapy dog organization like the Alliance for Therapy Dogs and must provide a copy of the organization's insurance. We know that flying for some people can be a stressing event, said Gateway Airport spokesman Ryan Smith. And anything we do to alleviate some of that stress can make the experience easier. That's what our goal is. According to Smith, the program includes certified therapy dogs of all breeds, and there's a possibility in the future for expanding it to other animals. The airport once hosted alpacas for a day at the terminal, he said. San Francisco International Airport's WAG Brigade includes a therapy pig, while Charlotte Douglas International Airport has a miniature therapy horse on its crew, while Portland International Airport has llamas. We get great feedback, Smith said. People love interacting with volunteers, love interacting with the dogs. Lots of airports are offering this. It's almost like the passengers kind of expect it. End of story. Our next article is entitled East Valley Man Establishes Himself as the Dean of Camping. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, June 26, 2025, and written by Saranthi Pereira, Tribune contributor. Mesa resident Scott Jensen, an avid hiker and outdoors enthusiast, knows what it is to lug a heavy backpack on the trail. With that knowledge, he designed his own outdoor gear and created a company, Near Zero, in 2019. At 13.5 pounds, his quality prepackaged backpack, called the Dean, is a bestseller mainly because it's lightweight. It consists of 10 items, a backpack, tent, sleeping bag and pad, pillow, cooking pot, stove, headlamp, first aid kit, and a long-handled spork, a utensil to enhance outdoors dining. So it's also grab-and-go, rather like fast food. We demystify backpacking for everyone, said Jensen. Whether you're 80 years old or 8 years old, we make it easy. The name Near Zero was chosen for two reasons. The brand owner said, Near zero weight, indicated by the feather in the company logo, helps merge the gap between being lightweight and affordable when compared to others in the market. The bundle costs $600. The second is the ease of use and simplicity that appeals to beginner hikers. We make it very near zero research that you have to do, he said. In addition to what is in the bundle, Near Zero sells other gadgets and gear. Handy items include a titanium shovel, hydration bladder, compass thermometer, and aluminum kettle teapot among the more than 150-item product list online, more than half of which he designed. After a few years of perfecting and marketing in the Dean and its junior version, Little Dean, the business is poised to grow. Last December, Jensen moved from his home garage to a one-acre property located south of the Lehigh area in Mesa. The 1968 glass building stands atop a hill and provides a downward view of Consolidated Canal and its Sun Circle Trail. The complex includes two underground offices that he calls bunkers. They are energy-efficient concrete structures, perfect as a warehouse, to store inventory, clean and restock rental packs, and for online order fulfillment. Jensen has rented most of the glass building's renovated rooms to other entrepreneurs until he needs the space for his own business. Because it is older than 50s and designed by veteran Mesa architect Victor Lamar Schill, Jensen has filed an application with the city to formally register it as a historic building. Also, 2 months ago, Jensen received a patent for his signature product that enables him to lock down his concept. It adds more credibility, he noted. Inside his offices, Jensen displays his prized products, each one more ingenious and creative than the other. The tents come in three sizes to accommodate 1 to 3 people and are compact when folded. The backpack has space for dehydrated food packs that just need boiling water to taste good. The backpacking shovel helps put out fires and is an important item for responsible forest care. It also doubles as a cooking grill that Jensen uses to cook quesadillas. The cooking pot doubles as a coffee mug, and so on. The Mesa native who attended Mountain View High School perfected his community leadership skills and earned the badge of an Eagle Scout. Following grade school, he earned a bachelor's degree in business from Arizona State University and a master's degree in global business management from the Thunderbird School of Global Management. Jensen began backpacking with his father when he was 8. The practice continued well into his adult life, and the two of them began planning this startup company while outdoors. Jensen also loved the hiking opportunities when he lived in Portland, Oregon for 4 years with his growing family. He explored the Pacific West outdoors with his elder son, who is now 22. Dean Jensen passed away unexpectedly in 2018. He was 71. Even now, Jensen cannot help wiping away a tear when he talks about his father. He would have loved to show him his progress and accomplishments. We honor him in this business because it's named after him, he said, referring to the backpack's name. He was my mentor. A job stationed in China gave him some respite from the sorrow. At that time, he was employed by Carlyle, based in Scottsdale, which sent him to work in supply chain management in Dongguan, China, near Hong Kong, overseeing 100 employees in a factory of 3,000. The family posting was enjoyable for 2 years, but the pandemic prematurely ended their stay as they were forced to evacuate. Back in Arizona, Jensen resumed his hiking. Every year he hikes the Grand Canyon from rim to rim, like his father did. It's a beautiful hike, he said, of the 24-mile trek. Sometimes he takes his 9-year-old son with him on the 17-mile hike to the Grand Canyon. They carried the Dean with the supplies and sleep in the wilderness inside one of their own tents. Asked what he likes about backpacking, Jensen said it helps him go further into the forest rather than when camping in a vehicle parked in a campground. When you get to the campsite, you appreciate all those things so much more, he said. You love everything you brought because you had to work hard to bring it. You sleep better. For more details, you can go to nearzero.com. End of story. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Urges Firework Safety. No author is listed. The 4th of July is quickly approaching, which means it's time for another fireworks safety from Queen Creek. The sale and use of legal consumer fireworks runs through July 6th. Illegal fireworks are never permitted within the town limits. Legal consumer fireworks include ground and handheld sparkling devices, any devices that rise into the air and explode, detonate, or fly above the ground, such as sky bottle rockets, reloadable shell devices, aerial shells, and single tube devices that are shot up into the air are illegal, according to a town press release. Legal consumer fireworks are only allowed on private property. Individuals who use, discharge, or ignite legal fireworks are responsible and liable for any expenses that might arise if any emergency response that is required. To reduce risks associated with fireworks, Queen Creek Fire and Medical Department has the following tips. Adults should always supervise firework activities. Sparklers burn at temperatures of about 2,000 degrees and can cause serious injuries. Avoid buying fireworks that come in brown paper packaging. Never have any portion of your body directly over a fireworks device when lighting the fuse. Move back to a safe distance immediately after lighting. Never try to relight or pick up fireworks that have not fully functioned. Never point or throw fireworks at another person. Keep a bucket of water or a garden hose handy in case of fire or other mishap. Light fireworks one at a time, then move back quickly. Never carry fireworks in a pocket or shoot them off in a metal or glass container. After fireworks fully complete their functioning, douse the spent device in a bucket of water overnight before discarding the trash to prevent a trash fire. Only use legal consumer fireworks and always leave the fireworks that rise into the air illegal for consumer use to the professionals. Fireworks can pose a risk to pets and livestock. Do not take your pet to firework displays. Provide a safe area away from loud noises. Don't place glow sticks or jewelry on your pet. Have your pet properly identified with a microchip. Never use fireworks around your pet or livestock, and be aware of your neighbor's pets and livestock. End of story. Thanks for joining me today for the East Valley News for Santan and Queen Creek. This is Leslie Hunter, volunteer reader.